Well, it's been wonderful tonight to hear three amazing stories about what Jesus can do in somebody's life. And just for a few moments, I want to look at that theme of who is Jesus. Gav, Sarah, and Aaron have shared what a difference he has made in their life. But you could be coming here this evening and say, who is this Jesus? This week of Easter, when we stop working for a while, we do it because Christians celebrate who Jesus is. But who is he? Well, in our culture, there's a therapist, Jesus, who helps us cope with life's problems, heals our past, tells us how valuable we are and not to be so hard on ourselves. There's Starbucks, Jesus, who drinks fair trade coffee, loves spiritual conversations, drives a hybrid, and goes to film festivals. There's open-minded Jesus, who loves everyone all the time, no matter what, except for people who are not as open-minded as you are. There's gentle Jesus, who's meek and he's mild, he's got flowing hair, walks around barefoot. There's spirituality Jesus, who hates religion, churches, pastors, priests, and doctrine, and would rather have people out in nature. There's guru Jesus, a wise, inspirational teacher who believes in you and helps you find your center. But they're not the real Jesus. They're not the real Jesus. Peter, one of the apostles of Jesus Christ, just weeks after Jesus had been crucified on the cross on Good Friday and had been raised from the dead through the glory of his Father on Sunday, was preaching to people just like us. And for a few moments, he's going to tell us who the real Jesus is. Listen to how Peter describes, just weeks after Jesus has been raised from the dead, who the real Jesus is. Firstly, Acts chapter 2, verse 22 is going to tell us who the first aspect of who the real Jesus is. Firstly, he's the crucified one. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter's preaching, and he says this: "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." What is he saying about Jesus? He tells us tonight Jesus was a real historical person. Listen, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus lived in this area. He was a historical person. Secondly, he tells us he was a man. He was a man accredited by God. Literally, you could say he was a real boy. He was fully human, and yet he was fully God. He was a historical person. He was a real man, but he was also a supernatural man. Look what it says up on the screen. He was accredited to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, but he was put to death by nailing him to the cross. Peter, as he preaches to a group of people, perhaps a bit like us, many hundreds of years ago, he wanted to tell the crowd who the real Jesus is, that Jesus was indeed the crucified one. He was a historical figure that ended up on a cross on Good Friday. But not only was he the crucified one, secondly, he was the resurrected one. He was the resurrected one. Look at verse 24 on the screen behind me. "But God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him," or Jesus, "I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body will also live in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence." And then he says this staggering claim. He's preaching to a big group of maybe thousands of people in Jerusalem, and he says this staggering thing. He says, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day." He says, if you want to know where David is today, go down and you'll find his bones. But you won't find the bones of Jesus. Why? Because he's the resurrected one. Because look at verse 32 on the screen behind me. It says, but God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. He's exalted to the right hand of God, and he's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. We come here this evening particularly because this is what we call Easter Sunday. It's the day in which we celebrate that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. Early on that first Easter Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb and they investigated to see if Jesus was there. And then they heard the words of the angels. They said, why do you look for Jesus? Why do you look for him here amongst the dead when he's alive? So who is Jesus tonight? He is the crucified one. Yeah, he was crucified on Good Friday. And so when Sarah goes into this gradually warming tank, as I can see that the heat is pumping, Sarah will go underneath the water and she'll be identifying with the fact that she's been crucified with Christ. As she goes under the water, she will be symbolizing in many ways that just as Christ was buried on Saturday, that Sarah will identify with his burial. But not only that, she'll also be identifying with the fact that Jesus Christ isn't in the grave like David's bones were, but that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the resurrected one. He is the crucified one, but gloriously, he's the resurrected one. But lastly, there's something else that Jesus does here for us, revealed in Peter's sermon. He's the saving one. He's the saving one. James Heffley said this about Jesus. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book as we would know it. He never held an office as we would know it. He never owned a home as we would know it. He never had a family as we would have known it. He never went to college as we would have known it. He never seemed to travel more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness as we know it. He had no credentials really but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth while he was dying, and that was his coat. And when he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. Such was his human life. But then he rises from the dead, and is now the exalted Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. He said 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of a man or a woman upon this earth and for all eternity as this one solitary life can. Because he's not here, he's risen. Jesus Christ is the crucified one. Jesus Christ is the resurrected one, but he's the saving one. Listen how this sermon finishes, and my one will finish. When the people, verse 37 on the screen behind me, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the other apostles, it's just a group of normal people, hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people. They're listening to this, Peter. And only a matter of weeks before this, Jesus had been crucified. And here's their response. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Some in the crowd realized legalism couldn't save them. If they tried to keep all the rules as a really good person, legalism couldn't save them. Some in the crowd realized that day, moralism couldn't save them. By just being a really good, upright, moralistic citizen couldn't save them. Some of them realized that trying to break all the rules and finding freedom and liberty and that couldn't save them. What did they realize? They realized what Peter says next, verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who were far off. And then he finished it and he says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Sarah tonight is about to be baptized in a matter of moments, which you're glad to hear about. And in many ways, she's symbolizing for us tonight that she's been added to the church, that she gave her life to the Lord years ago, and she's publicly declaring to you about that fact. But where do you stand tonight? Not with the cultural Jesus, but with the real Jesus. He says to each one of you tonight, I'm the crucified one. I'm the resurrected one. And I'm the one who can save. I wonder, will you give your life to Christ tonight? Let me pray, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to go through the act of baptism. So let me pray. Father, thank you for this Pentecostal sermon that Peter gave to the crowds that day. We praise you, our Father, for the difference that this sermon had in so many lives, as 3,000 were baptized and made a public profession of their faith that day. And so we pray, Father, for many here in this room tonight who have had no experience of Jesus and no experience of church and are curious about him. Some here tonight who have had many bad experiences of church and people who claim the name of Jesus. We pray that each one of us tonight might see the real Jesus, the crucified one, the exalted one, the resurrected one, but ultimately the one who can save us from our sin. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.